It's 6 years now since the UN-backed Cambodia Tribunal was established to bring to trial senior leaders and those most responsible for genocide and war crimes committed during the Khmer Rouge regime, which lasted from 1975 to 1979. During that period, an estimated 1.7 million people are believed to have died from starvation, torture, execution, and forced labor. To date, only one person has been convicted by the tribunal. Khaing Kwek Eav, alias Duck, who served as chairman of Phnom Penh's security prison, was sentenced to 35 years imprisonment, which was later increased to life imprisonment. The tribunal is expected to deliver its verdict on the trial of three other former leaders sometime in 2014. Nicholas Kumijian is the international co-prosecutor at the Cambodia Tribunal. UN Radio's Patrick Maigwa asked him why the number of those on trial has been so small.
That's true. The number is quite small. It always was envisioned to be a small number. There's additional suspects under investigation, but clearly everyone agrees that the number is quite small. And this is true not just in this court, but in other courts in Sierra Leone, for example, which I think most people view now as a very successful court. Only 13 individuals were indicted. So this court also were aiming at those persons who were the most senior and those persons who are the most responsible. And once these investigations are done, there won't be any further investigations.
I've been speaking to a lot of victims of the Khmer Rouge regime, and they have a lot of bitterness about what happened to them. But then they also feel the wheels of justice are moving rather too slowly for them. In fact, some of them say, you know, those people who are in prison, they are too old. They may just die before their cases are done. Then what happens to the justice that we are looking for?
I certainly would agree with them that the wheels are turning slowly. What people may not realize is so much of the work has already been done. And it's very important at this point to complete it. For victims and for society and for a country, there won't be another event of such significance as the events of Democratic Kampuchea, where up to a quarter of the population of Cambodia was killed or lost their lives. We have an opportunity now, while these accused are alive, to make a judicial record, to have a very historic trial. And that will last for many, many years. In 50 years, in 100 years, people are going to look back in this court. I hope that they will say, well, this court did something important and significant in establishing the truth about what happened and making the society of Cambodia believe that in the world there can be justice, even if that justice is limited only to those at the most senior and most responsible level. There was justice and there was recognition of their suffering.
What role do you think this tribunal has played in transitional justice? Are people finding closure to their suffering?
There is a sense of closure. There was a woman, I believe her name was Chung Ek, who testified in May of this year, and I quoted her a bit in my closing statement. She said she'd been waiting 35 years for a chance to tell her story. 22 members of her family were killed during the regime of Democratic Kampuchea, and she talked about how those events continue to cause suffering for her even up to this day. And it was obvious when she thanked the judges for coming from across the oceans that she saw the importance of the recognition of what happened to her and millions of people like her throughout this country. So I think there is a sense of closure like this. And also for transitional justice, we also hope that this court will establish a principle that people be judged by law, that law is supreme, that even in these cases, the most emotional, the most political, still the rights of the accused persons are respected, that decisions are not based on politics or power or influence or wealth, they're based on justice. And that's the example we hope to set. And I think that can have a very deep, if subtle, but very deep effect that can be long-lasting in a society.
How would you judge the support of the Cambodian people for this tribunal?
From what I've seen, there's a lot of support of the Cambodian people. Obviously, they want results. The tribunal's been slow and it's expensive, but this is an issue in Cambodia that is second to none because of the way it's affected the population. It's going to be an event that's going to be known in Cambodian history for many, many centuries and discussed. So I think the Cambodian people recognize the importance of the legacy that this tribunal will have. And as one of the people now entrusted with trying to fulfill their hopes and their dreams, I think that's a very heavy responsibility. And we're going to try our best to try to make this a success.
When speaking to some of the survivors of the Khmer Rouge, they're looking for reparations. I don't know whether this is an issue you're pursuing with the accused or with the government of Cambodia.
The judges have said that any reparations will be collective, not to individual. The court, like other international courts, wouldn't be in a position to judge how much harm was inflicted by this accused against all the thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of individual victims, and frankly, likely to be more symbolic in nature, such as memorials, a possible holiday to commemorate, a day of remembrance to commemorate what happened to the victims. So those are the type of reparations that the court has said would be considered.